You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. That's the
spirit. Hello, Peter.
Hello there. How are you going, Jenny?
Good. How is your Christmas spirit this afternoon?
My Christmas spirit is just fine.
Are you asking me about ghosts? Or?
No, just general cheer, Christmas cheer.
Okay. How's morale in the Lynham camp?
It's Christmas eating that's the worry to me. My goodness, I've already done far too much of it. And it's going to get worse, I think.
Do you have a favourite Christmas treat or food?
Oh, John, with the tough questions.
Oh, this is pretty big. I love Christmas mince pies, to be honest.
Yep.
They're kind of nice.
Do you chow down on those all year round, though, or do you just wait for Christmas?
No. I totally disapprove of all this business of offering the same food all through the year. I think it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And because I think they just go, they're just pure fat, aren't they? So they don't do any good. So I try to resist where I possibly can. But I think at Christmas, you just can't resist some things. And so I got to thinking about Christmas decorations. Have you put your Christmas decorations up?
No, not at all.
I've got a
actually, because this is That's the Spirit, hell no, I haven't, no.
I've put up a Christmas tree at home, but it has no decorations on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no...
There's a BFM here. Christmas tree up here, I should say. That's sort of enough for me. I spend enough time here, so that's kind of...
Well, actually, part of the puzzle is that Christmas decorations and Christmas trees don't have a lot of tradition associated with
them. What do you mean? Oh, come on! That's my favourite part.
Yeah, well, there you are. in fact, the Christmas decorations, Christmas trees, I mean, I think most people know the story about Prince Albert introducing the Christmas tree from Germany, although actually Queen Charlotte had tried to do so for 30 years before that and not had a great deal of success because the tradition of German kings on the throne of England goes back a while. Mm-hmm. But even in Germany, Christmas trees were... I mean, it's originally a Yule log. That's the ancient tradition.
Yule log.
So the Yule log, which is actually a pagan tradition of commemorating the Yule log around which one sang and drank. And so the Yule log represented the pagan gods, in fact.
Is it a special kind of log or a good-looking log?
The pine log.
What rolls downstairs? Something.
Yes. Well, I can't guarantee about what you've got downstairs, but I just know that it's unlikely from the forest and representing the pagan gods. So there we are. But decorating the tree that wasn't originally part of what was done, because those little Christmas lights that we've got are just so dependent on sort of electricity. Mm-hmm. And modern electricity only became available in the 1920s to a great extent. Do you know that Christmas decorations, now again Queen Victoria's got something to do with that, and this, they were originally from Bavaria, and from Dresden, so the Bavarian lights and the Saxon lights from Dresden were little glass ornaments blown by the glass blowers of those countries. Mm. And so they were modestly expensive to put on, to decorate the house with, and done very modestly. And you've got to remember that until the middle of the 19th century, most people didn't celebrate Christmas anyway. People who didn't belong to the main Anglican Church in England, and that in America would have meant most people, because most Americans were Puritans in background, they would have just carried on working on Christmas Day.
Right.
When did it become a worldwide phenomenon with people having disposable money to spend on decorating the tree?
About the time you were born, I would think.
You reckon?
Well, it's certainly true that when I was in China, I was intrigued to see that they were putting up Christmas decorations in China. Now, mm-hmm. That's a very recent thing. okay. that the Chinese have got into, and that's clearly commerce has taken that there. But the other main source was Woolworths 5 and 10 stores.
I was going to say so that. I was going to say it'll be, you know, like
chain
a
store.
Yeah,
so they.
But I didn't say that.
Woolworths began importing in to America. Woolworths had begun in the 1890s, and pretty early on, they began importing Christmas ornaments, and that made them popular. And in New Zealand, you can watch that the advertisements for Christmas ornaments really only get underway in the newspapers in the 1920s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And it's the advent of department stores like Milne & Choice and Smith & Coe that made these things sort of common and successful with people. So the trees came first, then the ornaments, and the lights well after that. The lights are probably 1950s and 60s that so, everybody began
so
getting
it's
Christmas lights.
Essentially people going into a large department store and seeing a display.
Yes.
And oh, fine, that tree's pretty rare.
Going, oh, wow, I can do that at my house.
Look at all those presents under that tree.
Yes, but mind you, Christmas presents under the tree is a little bit older. The presents under the
tree. Wait a minute. Wait, how can presents be under the tree be older than the tree itself? That's chicken and egg, mate.
No. I mean that the ornaments.
Oh, okay.
So as soon as you
that actually makes sense because some of the ornaments are actually presents themselves.
Yeah, I've had quite fun looking through pictures of Santa Clauses and Christmas trees and the like.
Vintage Christmas trees.
In New Zealand in the old newspapers. Mm. And it's pretty clear that the earliest Christmas trees probably didn't have rifts under them. But very soon after that, the trees weren't associated with Santa Claus at all. But sooner or later, people started giving out gifts from under the tree. And so that develops in New Zealand in the 1880s and 1890s.
Okay. I'm going to throw you a massive left field one here. What about the fact that the reindeer can fly and that Rudolph's got a red nose because he ate magic mushrooms? What about that?
Yes, I think this is a very recent development because it's got to, you know, wait for the arrival of magic mushrooms, really, I would say.
Okay, I feel like they've been around for a while, though, probably.
And
before time, even.
And as for Rudolph and his reindeer, this is totally dependent upon Bing Crosby. I'm afraid Rudolph didn't really have a red nose until Bing Crosby. As for the story of Rudolph and the reindeer, this is part of what happened when American showbiz began looking for Christmas legends because the repertoire of the sort of Christian of
Santa
the
was getting a bit
showbiz
boring, yeah,
song.
Coca-Cola
starts the tradition of the commercialized Christmas, and then everybody starts getting in on the act.
Okay. Do you reckon Christmas in the commercial sense has settled into a nice little nook? Are we going to see any new developments over the next few years, sort of space Christmas kind of stuff?
The expansion of Christmas?
Yeah. Is it stopped?
Yes. No, I think we'll see its continued expansion because remember that the whole notion of what was it, Black Friday,
right,
was the point at which shops began breaking even because of the huge commerce associated with gift types. But the gift fantasies, I think they're going to change hugely. I mean, these days, electronica is totally dependent, isn't it, on Christmas sales, I think. But now that we're getting early sales earlier on, I think the patterns of gift-giving are going to spread a bit.
Right. I'm actually just going through my house and just giving away stuff that I have already owned.
I think that's
because I'm very poor.
That's a great idea.
Just like record double-ups and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But
right.
If anyone's listening that is getting one of my presents, that's obviously not the case for you.
They're brand new.
Yeah.
Okay.
Completely untouched. Or, you see, the giving of antiques ought to become a tradition. Mm. So it's something old.
Yeah, that's rad, right? Yeah, I'm into that.
That's
into that.
Right.
Hey,
yeah.
Just lastly, Peter, I thought I'd ask you, what if you could pick like a winner for the most sort of substantial religious thing that's happened this year? I know this is just off, I'm just laying this on you now, but what would you say would be the religious winner of the year?
the religious winner.
You can change the
name.
Do you
mean of
it.
Or the biggest religious event?
Yeah, you know, whatever pops in your head is like, that's probably the most significant thing, like something to do with the Pope or something, probably, isn't it?
Yes, I think it's bound to be to do with the Pope. And probably, actually, we've never talked about the Pope's attempt to change the Lord's Prayer. Now that's pretty.
Now he's messing around with some high.
Yeah, messing around with some pretty serious stuff there. But I'm sure it's the sort of general trend of the Pope moving Catholicism into a new space. That's pretty significant.
All right, Peter. Well, we'll let you go, mate. Thank you for your service this year. It's always it's been fantastic.
And I'll go on and switch on my Christmas lights. Yeah.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Peter. Hey, we'll speak to you in the new year. And as Bakangri said, it's been a total pleasure to have you with us on the airwaves. I know lots of people appreciate the segment. So enjoy your holiday.
I will do that.
See you, mate.
You too. Okay, bye-bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.